all rise. Let's stand. Good to have you with us tonight. Amen. Amen. Go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Anyone have a need you'd like us to pray with you about? Sister. Okay, Judy Miller. Remember her. Sister Lori. Okay, remember Brother Campbell. Sister. Okay. Anyone else tonight? Remember Erica Rankins? Yes. Okay. Sister Catherine? Okay. All right, let's remember both those. Sister Carrie? Right. Exactly. Yeah, remember our bus kids that prayed. For the gardener, I'm sorry. All right, let's remember Sister Gardner. Adrian? Mm-hmm. Right. Let's remember that young man. Anybody else tonight? Man. All right. Let's all come to the altar and we'll pray for our service tonight, all right? appreciate you all being in service tonight. Amen. Let's have Brother Jackson come and lead us in some songs this evening. And let's just get in and worship the Lord tonight. All right? Praise God.
Take the red books tonight. Let's turn to page 339. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you anchored in Jehovah tonight? Hallelujah. Let's sing, I Shall Not Be Moved.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted in the waters, I shall not be moved. And in His love above, I shall not be moved, and in Him confiding, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved, oh, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. That's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And in His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved, just like the tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved, and I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the
flip back to page 179.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Fill my way with love.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to that land above. Giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove. the side of my Savior and guide. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon this race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home. Straight to that land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love, and keep me close to the side of my Savior and guide. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory. God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise God. Thank
Praise
you, Lord.
God. I'm going to switch up books on you. Let's go to the green book. Turn to page 126. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank the Lord for what He's done for the youth group that was at the youth camp. You know, see all those people getting in and getting blessed. You know, it was really a blessing. And, you know, we need to count our blessings, how good God has been to each of us. Listen, count your blessings. Hallelujah.
When upon life's billows too close, you are often count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Just count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Just count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with the load of what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Just count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Just count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Oh, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done.
Amen. Thank you for His blessings tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad you chose to come to the house of the Lord tonight, be in service. Amen. The Lord's been blessed us wonderfully during youth camp, and it was a great, great Spirit of the Lord that we felt in the services. And I know that every one of you has got something to testify about tonight. And we can probably stay here for the rest of the evening testifying about all of it. But we've got all weekend to do that. So we'll just take a few tonight, and then we'll a few tomorrow. And we'll we'll let you give you most everybody, at least all of our young people, a chance to testify. So maybe you want to stand up and testify about what good things the Lord's done for you. Count your blessings. There you go, Sister Alice. Right. Amen. He's watching over you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Right.
Yes, he does.
That's right.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Amen. He does watch over us, but we don't even realize it, right?
Yes, he does.
Amen. Somebody else.
Yeah.
Brother Rob. Come on. Come on.
Anybody want to be a spark plug? Amen.
Amen.
That's a good thought, Brother Rob. Amen. Somebody else tonight. Sister Aiden. Right. Sister Wilma? Right. Amen. Amen. It was a wonderful service Thursday night. Amen. God really helped us, Brother Jackson. Yes. Right.
That's right.
Right. That's right.
Right.
Amen. Right. Amen. Praise God. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Thursday night, it was many of the bus kids that were with us, they prayed so good Thursday night. And that was such a tremendous blessing to see them just weep and cry and pray. I'm confident that they felt something on Thursday night they've never felt before, right there in that the altar there. And I thank God for that. And Amen. Who knows what seed might have been planted, as Sister Carrie said during prayer request, and to pray to just continue on in their life. Amen. And work in their heart. Amen. We got some good kids there that came out. Not a lick of trouble out of them. Not one problem did we have out of those kids. They were just, they were good. They stayed in the services. They went to bed. They did just followed every rule. And we're so thankful for those young people that went. And I trust the Lord really touched their life. Amen. Amen. Sister Carrie, why don't you come and sing for us tonight, if you would? Amen. Hey, while she's coming, somebody else got a testimony? Sister Bell?
Word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we've talked, sung that song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. Amen. Sometimes we focus on the negative in our life. Focus on all the things that are not real good or things that we'd like to see better. And we focus on all of that and we fail to realize all the good things that God's done for us. Amen. And I think sometimes we need to stop focusing on the negative, start focusing on the positive, what good things God has already done in our life. I know every one of us can find something that we could say is not good or not wonderful in our life right now. Every one of us could. And every one of us could make a list of things. But we don't need to focus on that. If you focus on the good things of God, you'll find you have reason to give God praise. And you have so much to thank Him for, right? Amen. Praise God. We're glad Brother Shane's with us this weekend. And he's such a help during youth camp. He is such a help. And before youth camp, coming in early and working at the camp, helping us out. And I wanted him to preach for us tonight. And we're going to have the pan in the back tonight for Brother Craig. Brother Crane. Everybody was doing that. Everybody calling him Craig instead of Shane. So we just renamed him Crane. Brother Shane, want him to come. We'll have an offering pan back. Let's help him with some of his gas money. And he really is a blessing to us when he comes. And we appreciate Brother Shane. Come ahead, Brother Shane. Amen.
Well, Brother David has three brothers, so we're going to have to come up with a name for him. And the last few times he's asked me to preach, we've been on our way to somewhere. And right in about the middle of going somewhere, he called and said, "Hey, can you preach?" Well, wouldn't you know it, today he called early, and we wasn't even going anywhere. Wouldn't you know it. Anyway, Genesis chapter 3 this evening. Genesis chapter 3. And you've got to bear with me. There's two places we're going to be reading quite a bit, and we're going to be going to several different places tonight to get this point across. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the garden, for out of it hast thou wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, as to know good and evil. And now let us put forth his hand, lest also he take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And verse 24, So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I want to preach this evening on distracted. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you now. Lord, we ask for anointing upon this word. Lord, we ask that you would touch each heart and life here, Lord God, tonight. Lord, that you would let us not be distracted, Lord, by the enemy, but open our eyes, God, that we may see. Lord, everything the enemy may come against us with, Lord, to try to turn us aside from the way, Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Distracted. We read the story of Eve here in this passage of Scripture, the fall of man. We read of Eve, how that she was distracted by the serpent. And so I want to ask a question tonight in this message. Has something got your eye other than Christ? Has something got your eye other than Christ? Eve was distracted here at this point in Scripture. And a distraction is something that draws us away from an object. It diverts us from one point toward another point or various points. It distracts our eye from the goal and the focus and the attention that needs to be set on. It puts us aside from something. That's what this enemy uses against the children of God in this hour, is distraction. He comes against the children of God, and that's one of his greatest tools and weapons, is that he comes against us with distraction. You see, first of all, before he can ever get us most of the time to fall into sin, he first has to catch our eye with something that's going to distract us from our goal, and that is Christ. He's got to get our eye off of Christ. He's got to get our eye off of God. He's got to get our eye off of the things of God. He's got to get our eye off of church. He's got to get our eye off of everything else. And he's got to distract us with something to pull our attention away from where it needs to be. And that's what happened here in this point, passage of Scripture here. God had plainly told them, Adam, that they were not to partake of this tree. And if they had partaken of this tree, there was going to be harmful effects that would come to them. And so the serpent comes to Eve, and he beguiles her, and he comes to her with subduity and tries to take her attention off of the fact that she was not to partake of this tree. He tried to distract her. Here, she no longer saw the tree as something God said was untouchable or evil, but because of the distraction of Satan, she saw it as something good. She no longer saw it as something God said, do not touch it, and the day that you touch, you shall surely die. And now as Satan began to distract her and talk to her, and as she was distracted and began to talk to Satan and to the serpent there, as she begins to talk to him, he begins to take it and begins to turn it all around and said, did God really say that you should not take of it and that you would die? Did God really say that you would die? Did God really say this? Did God really mean it? Did God really mean what he said? So he gets her distracted from it and begins to see it as something that was good, something that was not harmful, something that would not harm her. This is the nature of deception. This is the nature of a distraction. This is the nature of all of that. Seeing what God calls evil as good, or calling what God says is evil and calling it good. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is the nature of distraction, the nature of deception. It gets us to look at the things that God has said, thou shalt not touch. The things that God said, don't go that direction. It begins to distract us and deceive us into believing that it's okay. So first of all, here in this passage of Scripture, we see that she was distracted by the serpent. She comes and she is distracted away by the serpent. And after he gets her eyes off of the goal, after he gets her distracted and he gets her attention off of where it's supposed to be, he begins to deceive her and he begins to show her that this is not the way, when it really was the way God had in mind. And after she is deceived, she is deterred away from where she is supposed to be going, and she goes in the opposite direction. But it all started with this being distracted. It all started with her being distracted. It all started with her beginning to listen to the serpent, to begin to listen to what he had to say. You let me tell you something, in this hour and this day, the first thing Satan is going to try to do is to take your attention off, and he wants you to hear what he has to say. He wants you to hear what the world has to say. He wants you to hear what everybody else has to say, but what God has to say. We need to keep our eyes, our ears, and our attention upon Christ. Eve was distracted by deception. She listened to the lies of the serpent. When God wanted her to heed the truth, she was over listening to the serpent. When God wanted her to heed to the truth, she was over being distracted by the enemy. She's not the only one in Scripture that I want to look at tonight. We know it well, so I'm not going to go there. It's the story of Samson. The story of Samson. He was distracted by the pleasures of sin. Eve was distracted by deception. Samson was distracted by the pleasures of sin. He began to see those things. He began to be allured by those things of the world. He began to look at them and began to want and to desire them more than he wanted and desired the call of God upon his life. He wanted to enjoy the pleasures of sin when God wanted him to defeat the very people that were luring him into that trap. Samson was also distracted by and then deceived. In Judges chapter 16, verse 20, "And she said," speaking of Delilah, "the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him." This was the nature. He was distracted by the pleasures of sin. And it got to the point where he finally said, I can go out in my own power. I can go out and do my own thing. And the presence of God is still going to be upon my life when I need it the most. But he found out that after a while, God does not put his presence and his signature of approval upon the pleasures of sin. And so we find him here. He said, I will go out at other times. He shook himself, but it was not the presence of the Lord that he went out with, and he was defeated. Why? Because first of all, he was distracted. That's where it all began, was when he was distracted away from the call of God. He was distracted away from where God wanted him to be. He was distracted away and turned away and turned aside from where God intended him to be. Let me tell you something. We have a lot of people today that are following the same example of Samson. They're off being distracted by the pleasures of sin, and they're still shaking themselves. And right now, maybe the presence of God is still upon them. Maybe the presence of God is still upon your life here. But you wish not that the Spirit of the Lord is someday or even now departing from you because of the pleasures of sin. He was distracted by the pleasures of sin. Know ye not that one day, if you follow that pathway, it will eventually lead to the same place that Samson found himself at. In this passage of Scripture, in Judges chapter 16, verse 20, he found himself without the presence of God. He found himself without power. He found himself in the clutches of the enemy. Why? All because he was led away by that distraction. That's the goal of Satan, is to lead you aside. To have you so deceived that you think that the presence of God is with you, when in fact you're actually walking into his trap. Into his very midst. What do we find Samson later on? We find him chained, grinding at the mill of the Philistines. You say, I have a handle on sin right now. I have a handle on the pleasures of sin right now. That I'm controlling them. But we find Samson later on, he is not controlling them no longer, but he is being controlled by them. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 13. Samson's not the only one. Eve's not the only one. 1 Kings chapter 13. It's going to be a long passage of Scripture. 1 Kings 13 says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee. Men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And gave us a sign the same day, saying, This is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, and that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also is ran, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray me that thy hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. The man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither shall I eat bread nor drink water in this place, for so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou comest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his son came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken to the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen the way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither shall I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said unto me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou comest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring me back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drink water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread, and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after that he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, and the prophet which he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him in the way, and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it, but the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by, and saw the carcass cast in the way, the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him, and he went and found his carcass cast in the way. And the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet stood up and took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him, and he laid his carcass in the old grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried him, and he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places, which are the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again the lowest of the people priest of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And the thing became sin in the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Why did I read all that passage of scripture? As we begin to look at this young prophet, there's a lot in this passage of scripture here. This young prophet was distracted by an older prophet with a word from the Lord. But this wasn't the first distraction. If you'll notice as we began to read throughout this, this wasn't the first distraction that this man of God had. He was first distracted. Satan tried to get him to turn aside from what God had him wanted him to do when the king first said unto him, "Will you stop and will you eat bread in mine house right here? For I know that you're a man of God. I know that you have the word of the Lord. I want you to come and eat bread with me. Don't go back yet. Come and eat bread with me." And he turned it aside and said, "If you give me all of your house or half of your house, if you give me whatever you want to give me, I will not do it, because the Lord told me to go a different way. The Lord told me not to eat bread in this house nor drink water in this place. I am to go and to listen to the word of the Lord." And so he goes on his way, and the prophet comes to him. And there's the second distraction. The prophet comes to him first and says to him, "Come, eat bread and drink. I am a prophet as you are. I'm a man of God just like you. Come and eat bread and drink in my before you go on." That was the second distraction. He turned it aside and said, "No, the Lord told me to go on. The Lord told me to go on." The old prophet said, "The Lord told me to bring you in." And so finally the Satan finds a place where he can put a distraction in. The distraction that actually worked was when the man of God said, "I have a word from the Lord for you, and that is you come back." Although God had first told him and spoken to his heart and said, "You go back. It doesn't matter what else. You go back and don't go out of the same way, and you don't eat bread or drink water in that place, but return home with speed." And so what do we find him when the man says, "The word of the Lord has spoken to my heart"? He puts aside the word that God had spoken to his heart and said, "I'll go with what the older prophet said," when he should have obeyed the voice of the Lord, his God. For another mistake that he made here in this passage of Scripture, we sometimes put ourselves in places of distraction. We sometimes put ourselves in places where we can be tempted to turn aside from the way of the Lord. When the old prophet comes to him, he finds him sitting under an oak tree. He's resting. The word of the Lord that came to him didn't tell him to go speedily, but the emphasis was, "You go back with haste. Don't stay in this place, but you go back with haste." But we find him resting underneath the oak tree, taking it easy, just relaxing back there, maybe catching his breath before he goes on. And you see, we can't stop, we can't rest, we can't hold back on our journey to heaven, or we're going to be distracted as well by the enemy. The enemy knows when we're sitting underneath the oak tree. The enemy knows when we're in times of weakness and we've got to lay back and rest. Take it easy for a while. Let me tell you something. Don't stop. Don't quit. But keep going on in the way that God wants you to go. Don't hesitate. Don't stop. Don't hold back. Don't rest underneath the oak tree as he did. And so he came to the man of God's house. He was distracted by a word, quote unquote, from the Lord. Let me tell you something. In this hour, there's a lot of words from the Lord, quote unquote, that a lot of people are saying about. And it's not, a lot of them aren't even coming to pass. Most of them are not even coming to pass, because why? They're not words from the Lord. But he was distracted by a word from the Lord, by an older prophet even. And he comes to the house. And as he comes to the house, the older prophet, and a lot of people look at this passage of Scripture with confusion. Why? Because, first of all, that he lied to him and said, "Come to my house." The Bible says specifically he lied to him when he said, "I have a word from the Lord. You come to my house. God has spoken for me to take you in." He lied to him there. But later on, the prophecy that he speaks to this young man as he's about ready to leave, and he has come and he's eaten and he's drunk there in that place. And he begins to go out, and the prophet brings him back and says to him that his carcass would not come back to the place of his fathers. He says, "You're not even going to make it back to your own home. You're not going to make it back to the place where you're at." And he leaves that place. And this is how you know that God had really spoken to the old prophet. God had really used that old prophet, was because when he came to that point and place, the everything just lined up. The lion killed him, but did not eat him, which was unnatural. It was not natural for a lion to come and just to kill its prey, but it's natural for them to come and to kill it and to eat it. And also the donkey and the ass were set, the donkey and the lion were sitting there together, which is unnatural. They would have eaten each eaten. One would have run, the other would have eaten, but they were all there sitting in this place because of the word of the Lord that came through the older prophet. God did use him. And it's a lot of times it's confusing to us, but what we got to do is rely upon the Spirit of the Lord, the genuine Spirit of God, to speak to our hearts and speak to our lives so that we're not distracted by a word from the Lord. We've got to realize what the presence and the Spirit of God is. That's why a lot of people are deceived in this church hour today, is because they don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord for themselves. They don't really know what God is speaking to their heart for themselves. They don't know the Word of God, so that if something comes across and it's a disobedient or it's not accurate according to the Word of God, they don't know it. We have a lot of people that way in this hour. That's why they're running off being deceived by this word or that word and following this one or following that one, because we don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord when it speaks to our heart. Or we turn it aside and say, I don't want to go that way. He listened to the older prophet when God wanted him to listen to him. God wanted him to hear him. Although we're supposed to listen to the preacher, listen to the older prophets that speak to us, we're also to listen to the voice of the Lord as He speaks to our hearts. I want us to remember leaving the young prophet, and let's go to Peter out in the storm. He was distracted as well. Peter was out in the boat, and Jesus was coming to them on the water, and he cries out, if this is really the Lord, bid me to come upon the water to you. And he begins to go to Christ, and he begins to walk upon the water, a feat that's not natural. It's a supernatural experience that he's going through at this moment in time. He's going toward Christ. He's heading the right direction. He has his eyes, his focus, his goal is upon Christ. But he begins to look around him. The Bible says after he's maybe halfway there or whatever, he's already out on the water. He begins to look around him at the storm. He begins to look around him at the distractions that are around him. The storm is beating down upon him. He looks around. He takes his eyes off of Christ. And he begins to sink. And as he's beginning to sink, he eventually realizes, hey, the reason why is because I begin to look at the storm. And he begins to cry out again to Christ. He says, Lord, save me. And as he begins to look out to Christ, Christ comes to him, saves him. He was more interested in the things taking place in the storm all around him. When God wanted him to keep his eyes on Christ. Amen. You see, there's storms in our life that we go through. And if we don't keep our eyes on Christ, but if we're distracted by the things that are taking place in our storm, we can be distracted, turned aside, and we can actually lose our way in the storm. It might have been a storm that God put our pathway to teach us a lesson. But if we begin to look at the things that are happening in the storm, if we begin to look at the wind and the waves and the things that are tossing our ship and tossing our life all around, if we begin to look at those things and take our eyes off of Christ, we can be distracted in the middle of a storm and we can lose our way. We need to keep our eyes on Christ. The goal is to keep our eyes on Christ. Don't be distracted by the storm you're in. You say, I'm in a storm tonight. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the storm that's around you. Don't look to the things that are happening. Look to Christ. Look to what He's trying to teach you. Look to what He's trying to show you. Look to what He's trying to teach you in the middle of the storm. Because there's a lesson, there's a purpose in the storm that God wants you to see. But the enemy wants to distract you even in the storm. Eutychus, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. If you turn there real quick. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. Verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preaching unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, saying, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and taken and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Eutychus here, as he's in the house of God, if you will, listening to Paul preach. He's up in the window there, sitting there in the window, listening to Paul preach. It's a good thing that he's listening to Paul. if he was really listening to Paul, it's a good thing he was sitting there. He was in the house of God. He was there in the fellowship of the brethren. He was there. But he begins to get sleepy. His eyes begin to get heavy. And he begins to fall asleep. And as he falls asleep, he falls out of the third loft and is taken up dead. And as we read on the story, it all turned out all right. He was taken up alive in the end. But first of all, he wanted to sleep and God wanted him to listen. We sometimes are distracted by natural desire. We sometimes, by our natural desire to sleep, we get tired, we get weary in our body, and we begin to want to sleep. We begin to want to, by our natural desire, we're distracted. The enemy uses our body and the things in our body that go on our tiredness, our when we get sleepy. He uses those things against us a lot of times to distract us from what God wants us to do. Eutychus was to be listening to Paul and listening to the instruction that Paul was preaching to him, but instead he was sleeping. Instead he was falling asleep in the midst of it, when God wanted him to listen, when God wanted him to hear what Paul was saying, when God wanted him to hear the words of the Lord, he was sleeping. So we've got to watch our natural desire. We can be distracted by natural desire and turned aside from the way that God wants us to go. One more final character in the Bible, Acts chapter 15. Acts 15, verse 36. Acts 15, verse 36. It says, "And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they were departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Caesarea, confirming the churches." We read here in the Bible the story of John Mark. The Bible never goes into specifics why he didn't go with them unto the work. But in verse number 38 says that Paul, that great man of God, thought not good to take with them John Mark, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. John Mark, I don't know why, I don't know the reason. The Bible never says why John Mark never went with them. Whatever it may be, some maybe think it, maybe he was afraid or fearful of going on. Whatever the case may be, but he was distracted from going on the work of the Lord that God wanted him to do. He was afraid when God wanted him to boldly declare the Word of God, maybe. Maybe that's the reason. And so John Mark was distracted away from the work that God wanted him to go and to help Paul. And God wanted him to go and to be there. He was distracted away and turned aside. We've got to watch when God wants us to go. Amen. Don't let anything distract us from going. And so we went through Eve. She was distracted by deception. We went through Samson, distracted by the pleasure of sin. The young prophet, distracted by the older prophet's word from the Lord. Peter was distracted by the storm. Eutychus was distracted by natural desire. John Mark might have been distracted by fear. Now how about you? Now how about you? If you'd stand with me this evening in the house of the Lord, bow your heads in the presence of God. Now, how about you? What is distracting you from reaching your full potential in God? You see, the Bible says that the things in the Old Testament, things in the Word of God, were written for our example. They're written for our admonition. They're written so that we can look at them and say, I want to go or I don't want to go that direction. Right. So how about you this evening? What is distracting you from reaching that potential that God wants you to have? Reaching that place where God wants you to be? What's distracting you from that place where God wants you to be? We read the story of Elijah. In the heat of the battle with Jezebel, he runs away and hides. He's discouraged. He's in the cave. God comes to him and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you at this place? Why aren't you at this point, this moment? Why are you right here?" There was a reason for that. God spoke to him because God didn't want Elijah to be depressed. God wanted him to be somewhere else, not in the cave. Discouraged, depressed, wondering where he was going to go, what he was going to do. God wants us to be in that place where he wants us to be. God wants us to be doing that thing that he wants us to do. What is distracting you from reaching your full potential in Christ? The solution for distraction, if you're here at that point in time in your life tonight, is to get your eyes back on Christ. And take care of all of it. Just get our eyes back on God and what he would have us to do. I feel strongly tonight that someone's here. You're distracted. You've gotten your eyes off of Christ. I didn't say you fell into sin. I didn't say you've fallen away yet. I just said you've taken your eyes off of Christ. Maybe discouragement. Maybe something else that we've preached about tonight is taking your eyes off of Christ for the moment. And you, like Peter, are beginning to sink in the storm. And tonight you need to cry out, Christ, save me. Help me to get my feet back on solid ground. That place where you want me to be. So that I'm not distracted by the enemy. Is there one here to raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to get my eyes back on Christ tonight. I'm being distracted by the enemy. And I need help. I need prayer. That I'd not go that direction. I'm feeling the pull of sin. Feeling the pull of distraction. And I don't want to go that way. I want to go God's way. Is there one here who'd say, that's me? Yes. Is there another? There's one hand. Is there another? Say, that's me. I don't want to be distracted by sin. Let's come and find a place to pray this evening.